Fiona Barton's first two novels were The Widow and The Child, and they were brilliant. Her third is The Suspect. It is equally brilliant. It is a very painful subject, the way parents suffer when their children go out into the world and then go missing. Their two families, two young girls, have gone missing in Thailand, and then there is the journalist, who gets to investigate this, and the journalist and her husband have a son who went off to Thailand and who communicates with them only very irregularly. It then turns out that the two girls, and this is not, I think, a plot spoiler, because it's information that's given to us very early, the two girls found dead and burned in the hostel in which they were staying, and then the police are involved, and it all is told from different perspective, different viewpoints, the journalist, the mother, the children, and so on. And it's absolutely fascinating and very, very Fiona Barton, the author, in a way difficult to read because of the relationship which parents know and children know about the relationship between parents and children. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
With that relationship between children and parent and that fear and that anguish is a difficult topic to write about because it is something that hits home to so many people.
Yes, including me. Yes, it is painful, and it's something that I drew on my own experience to write in a much more minor way, a less dramatic way, I suppose. But my son went on his gap year to Vietnam, and it was at a time, he was 18, but social media really hadn't kind of taken hold. So we had to rely on him writing or phoning, and he did very little of either. So I spent a lot of time lying in bed at night thinking, he's in a ditch somewhere, I'm never going to see him again. But he turned safe and sound in the end. But I drew on that, you know, it's real sort of stomach-clenching fear for your child when they're beyond your control. They're out there in the wild. So, I think it is a painful subject, but it's something that a large number of parents go through, with different results, obviously. But, you know, it's something about parents and children that is a shared experience, I suppose.
And, I mean, you write about grief so powerfully. One of the two, they're two girls, Alex and Rosie. Alex, if you like, is the good girl. Rosie's the party girl. And to a degree, Rosie's behavior precipitates the tragedy, but Rosie's parents love her. And well, it's not, Rosie's parents are divorced and separated, and there's a new child. But Alex's parents are so heartbroken by this. And when you write about their grief, it was as if I was in the room with them, turning away because I couldn't bear to watch them cry anymore.
Well, that's very, I want to say nothing to say, I know what you mean, but I've been, I was a reporter for 30 years, and so I'm afraid I've witnessed more than my fair share of grief, very much firsthand, interviewing men, women who have been through terrible things. So I've seen it, and I've felt it, and I've really kind of, I've sort of dug deep and found occasions when I was confronted with that sort of grief, and I remember very much how I felt. So I've allowed my journalist character, Kent Waters, to feel the same way.
So one of the things that struck me, which you do really, really well in this psychological drama thriller type of book, is characterize exceptionally well a wide range of characters. You write with as much insight about your journalist and the work she does and the feeling she has as a policeman whose wife is dying of cancer and the bravery of that wife and the teenagers, one of whom is trying to be a responsible teenager exploring the world and the other who's interested in sex, drug and rock and roll. All of them you inhabit as if you were that person.
Oh, gosh. I don't think I've ever been... I've never been a Rosie, I don't think. But as I say, I've got this incredible cast of characters from having been a journalist, and I've met all of these people, or parts of these people, and I haven't used any characters fully formed from my time as a reporter, but I've taken the best, the worst, the most interesting from different people that I've met, and I've been in some pretty intense situations, and people have been very open and honest with me. So I've taken from that, really, with a bit of imagination, I suppose.
And why the decision to tell the story from so many different points of view? Some are one is first person, the other though is third person, omniscient narrator from a particular character's point of view, as opposed to telling the story from the omniscient narrator.
I there's always a place for those for the omniscient, oh God, neither of us can say, narrator. But I like a lot of voices, and I think, again, you know, that sort of harks back to my career, because when you're writing a news story, you want as many voices in it as possible, because it means that you've seen all round, you've talked to everybody involved, you've got the whole story, and that's one of the things that's kind of died hard for me. So I've kept it, and I like that it makes it gives everything a sort of a taste of uncertainty. The unreliable narrator has been around for a very long time, and I love them. I love the fact that it unsettles you. It makes you question what you know as a reader. And so having a lot of voices allows you to play a bit with that uncertainty.
And that uncertainty continues right until the end. I don't want to give too much away, because there are plot elements. But I found the ending ambiguous and uncertain as well. And I suspect, having listened to you now for the past few minutes, that you intended that.
Yes. I went back and forth over the ending. And if you've read it, then you'll know what I'm talking about. But I thought, you know, you can't always tie everything up neatly. Life isn't like that.
Generally, thriller fiction is like that. Generally, things are tied in a neat bow, and he's guilty, she's guilty, she going to jail, whatever the case may be. But this is, again, you know, it's intriguing because it is more open-ended.
Well, I like a book that doesn't tie things up neatly, too neatly anyway, because I like the reader to be able to carry on thinking about it afterwards, the what-ifs, the, you know, have I understood that bit, or, you know, what would I have done in that situation? And so I have left it like that. I should say that book four, which I'm in the middle of writing at the moment, I have left Kate in a darkened room to have a lie down, because it was very traumatic, the suspect, for her. But so I'm not using her as a character in book four. But I will be returning. I will be returning to her. I'm pondering at the moment her next moves.
No 100-year-old man climbs out of the window and has fun in the garden type title for you. The widow, the child, the suspect. Short, sharp.
Yeah, I know. The first one, it was called The Widow in my head from the absolute first day, and everybody loved that. But then, you know, when you have a publisher, you know, they like to try and brand your titles, and so they liked the something. And I like Short Sharp. I'm a reporter, so that's what I do. But yeah, I don't think the fourth one will be the anything.
Fiona Barton, thank you.